From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
VOI listener, welcome back with me, Rahma. In today's edition, we will present some segments to you, beginning from news, spotlight of the week, and other interesting info, as well as Indonesian songs. Well, listener, we begin with news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, on the frequency 3325 kHz, and website voinews.id.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. First, the headlines. Observer highlights issues on Indonesian voters abroad. National Food Agency underlines the urgency of food security in Indonesia's new capital city, Nusantara. Now the news in detail. The Executive Board of the Association for Elections and Democracy, Perludem, Titi Anggraeni, highlighted a number of factors that cause low voter participation in the general elections abroad. In a talk show, Parlemen Menjawab or the Parlemen Answers, broadcast by RRI Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Sunday, November the 26th, Titi Anggraeni said that the first factor causing the low level of participation of Indonesian voters abroad was the technical design of voting.
Kalau di Indonesia, kawan-kawan dan juga pendengar RRI,
in Indonesia, we must be grateful for the state services. Voting day in Indonesia is a public holiday, but it isn't so overseas. Not all elections are held on holidays. Then from the technical side, not everyone can access polling stations easily at the same time. This also includes advanced voting. In our previous elections, the overseas elections were earlier, but only one day. Well, because the time is short, while the locations are spread out, the access was more limited.
Another thing is the issue of representation, which affects constituency relations. She said that the votes of Indonesian overseas are only collected in one electoral district, namely Jakarta 2, while voters come from various regions in Indonesia who have different aspirations. Indonesian General Election Commission Commissioner Betty Epsilon Idrus assessed that the level of participation of Indonesian abroad in the general elections process not only depends on the Commission's socialization efforts, but also on the success of the campaigns carried out by each participant. In a talk show, Parlemen Menjawab or the Parliament Answers, broadcast by RRI, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Sunday, November the 26th, Betty Epsilon Idrus said the campaign was an effective means of introducing election participants and encouraging the public to participate in exercising their rights to vote as part of political education for the community.
Tingkat partisipasi tidak hanya tergantung pada kerja-kerja sosialisasi yang dilakukan.
The level of participation doesn't only depend on the socialization work done by the General Elections Commission, in my opinion, but also depends on the success of the campaign by election participants. Because the campaign actually introduces the vision and mission of self-image and then tries to convince voters to come to the polling station to vote for the person as a form of political education.
Furthermore, she explained, in the upcoming 2024 general elections, the Commission has prepared three ways for overseas voters to exercise their rights, namely by voting on ballot papers at the polling stations prepared by the Overseas Election Committee, using mobile ballot boxes, and by post. Previously, the General Election Commission announced that the 2024 overseas elections would be held in 128 representative countries with a total of over 1,750,000 voters. The Indonesian National Food Agency underlined the urgency of food security in the new capital city Nusantara in East Kalimantan. Head of the agency, Arif Prasetyo Adi, stated in Jakarta on Saturday that they are prioritizing production availability and sufficient stocks. Meanwhile, the agency secretary, Sarwo Edi, emphasized that the development of the new capital city Nusantara should take into account food security as an important aspect and part of national resilience. The start of capital city relocation is expected to take place on August 17, 2024, in line with Indonesia's independence celebration. The National Food Agency will push for an increased production for food security at the regional and national level. The agency also asked for a reduction in land conversion so that rice fields and plantation land will still remain for food security. This news broadcast is coming your way from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. A total of 13 Israeli hostages are to be freed for 39 Palestinian prisoners in a delayed second exchange agreed as part of a temporary truce in Gaza. Mediator Qatar said Saturday, November the 25th. 7 foreigners held in Gaza will also be released, Foreign Ministry spokesman Majed Al-Ansari wrote on X, formerly Twitter. Earlier, Hamas said it was delaying the release of a second group of Israeli hostages in exchange for Palestinian prisoners until Israel complies with a truce agreement. On the first day of a four-day humanitarian truce in Gaza, facilitated by Qatar with help from Egypt and the United States, 13 Israeli hostages were freed by Hamas Friday in exchange for 39 Palestinian prisoners held in Israeli jails. Japan and China are hoping to hold security talks in the near future, Japanese Foreign Minister Yoko Kamikawa said on Saturday after meeting with China's top diplomat Wang Yi in South Korea. The talks marked the first time the two senior diplomats had met since Kamikawa became Japan's foreign minister in September and followed the first face-to-face talks in a year by their country's leaders earlier this month. An account of the meeting released by China's foreign ministry said Wang had emphasized the need for both sides to make clear they do not pose a threat to one another while respecting each other's legitimate concerns. Kamikawa said Japan was seeking a lifting of a Chinese ban on all Japanese seafood-related exports in the wake of the wastewater release from the crippled Fukushima nuclear power plant. Japan and China will also seek high-level talks on the economy, Kamikawa said, adding that no date had been set. The Philippines and Australia began their first joint sea and air patrols in the South China Sea on Saturday, November the 25th, days after Manila took similar steps with the U.S. as Pacific nations warily eye an increasingly assertive China. The three-day exercise announced by Philippine President Ferdinand Marcos Jr. on social media followed discussions by the Philippines and Australia early this year on joint patrols to underscore what they say is their commitment to a rules-based order. Last item. China's military will begin combat training activities from Saturday on its side of the border with Myanmar, it said on social media, a day after a convoy of trucks carrying goods into the neighboring Southeast Asian nation went up in flames. The incident, which Myanmar state media called an insurgent attack, came amidst insecurity concerns in China, whose envoy met top officials in Myanmar's capital for talks on border stability after recent signs of rare strains in their ties. A separate statement released by the provincial government of China's Yunnan, which neighbors Myanmar, said the drills would run until November 28th. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijayakasi, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Spotlight of the week is on Indonesia welcomes humanitarian pause in Palestine. Indonesia welcomes the temporary humanitarian pause agreement in Gaza, which was reached between the Palestinian Hamas group and Israel. Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs conveyed it via social media X on Wednesday, November the 22nd, monitored from Jakarta. It said Indonesia has consistently called for the importance of ending violence in a sustainable manner in order to open access for widespread humanitarian assistance to Gaza, including assistance from Indonesian government and people. It is hoped that this agreement will open up opportunities for a permanent end to the conflict and the start of serious discussions for comprehensive and just peace. Furthermore, Indonesia expressed its appreciation for the mediation efforts initiated by Qatar in coordination with Egypt and the United States. During this humanitarian pause, the Indonesian government, through the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, will also continue to monitor the condition of three Indonesian citizens who work at the Indonesian hospital in Gaza. Previously, the Qatari government, through the Qatari Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Doha, on Wednesday, November the 22nd, announced the success of joint mediation efforts carried out with the Arab Republic of Egypt and the United States between Israel and the Islamic Resistance Movement or Hamas, which resulted in an agreement to a humanitarian pause. The time started one day after the announcement to last for 4 days and can be extended. The agreement includes the release of 50 female and child civilian hostages currently held in the Gaza Strip in exchange for the release of a number of Palestinian women and children held in Israeli prisons. According to the announcement, the waived amount will be increased in the next phase of implementation of the agreement. In addition, the humanitarian pause would also allow the entry of humanitarian convoys and aid in larger quantities, including fuel intended for humanitarian needs. Qatar affirmed its commitment to ongoing diplomatic efforts to defuse tensions, stop bloodshed, and protect civilians. Qatar also expressed its appreciation for the efforts of the Arab Republic of Egypt and the United States in reaching this agreement. That was this week's Spotlight. I'll begin today in history with November the 26th, 1979, the PIA Flight 240 crash. Pakistan International Airlines or PIA Flight 740 was a Hajj pilgrimage flight that crashed after taking off from Old Jeddah International Airport on November the 26th, 1979. All 156 passengers on board the Pakistan International Airlines Boeing 707-340C died. The cause of the cabin fire is unknown. The crash remains the third deadliest crash on Saudi Arabia Air and the third deadliest in the world involving a Boeing 707. Moving on to November the 26, 2008, the Mumbai terrorist attacks. The 2008 Mumbai attacks were a series of coordinated terrorist attacks that occurred simultaneously in a number of places around the city of Mumbai, India. The attack occurred on November the 26, 2008 and continued until November the 29th. At least 188 people, including at least 22 foreigners, were confirmed dead, while around 370 people were injured. The perpetrators carried out a series of shootings, explosions, and hostage-taking. A group calling itself Deccan Mujahideen claimed responsibility in an email sent to several media. Today in history with November 26, 2021, WHO identified the SARS-CoV-2 Omicron variant. The Omicron variant is a variant of SARS-CoV-2, the coronavirus that causes COVID-19. The World Health Organization, WHO, declared it a variant of concern and named it from the Greek word Omicron. On November the 24th, 2021, the variant was first reported to WHO from South Africa. On November the 26th, the WHO Technical Advisory Group on the Evolution of the SARS-CoV-2 virus stated that B11529 was a variant of concern and gave it the designation Omicron. That was today in history.
More from Indonesia is coming up shortly. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
VOI listener, in the segment Listener's Mailbag, we would like to thank our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent their letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now let's start answering their letters or emails. First, I would like to reply to a letter from Gunther Rommelrath in Viersen, Germany. He was listening to our broadcast in German on June 15, 2023 at 6 to 6:58 p.m. on frequency 4750 kHz with SINPO 24222. In his letter, he said the broadcast was very fluctuating and noisy. Hello, sir. Thank you so much for your reception report. For your complaint, I will report to the technical division, and my colleague from the German section will reply to your letter. Just please be patient. Well, as appreciation, I will play a beautiful song special for you. Here's the song.
Sepertinya ku telah jatuh hati kepadamu. Yakin 100% padamu. hati ini.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on the frequency 3325 kHz and website voinews.id. Today's edition will give information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on Indonesia has the opportunity to add athletes to the 2024 Paris Olympics. The 2024 Olympics will take place in Paris, France from July the 26th to August the 11th. Currently, Indonesia has secured 5 tickets from archery athletes, namely Arif Dwi Pangestu and Diananda Hoirunisa, artistic gymnastics athlete Rifda Irvana Lutfi, and rock climbing athlete Desak Maderita and Rahmat Ademulyono. Regarding the opportunity to send additional athletes, because the qualifying round is still ongoing, Indonesia still has many opportunities to qualify athletes for the 2024 Paris Olympics. Apart from badminton, there are 4 other sports that have the potentials to send athletes to the biggest multi-event in the world. Chairman of the Indonesian Olympic Committee, Raja Sabta Oktohari, on Monday in Jakarta said the remaining time to compete for Olympic tickets was still 7 months away. According to him, there are still opportunities in weightlifting, bicycle racing, surfing, archery, and wall climbing. He appealed to other sports federation not to slack and be more careful in participating in single event tournaments that are included in the qualifying calendar for the Paris Olympics. The competition to get tickets will get tighter as time remains. Regarding preparations for sports and athletes, the Indonesian Olympic Committee also continues to prepare various preparations for the Indonesian team for the Paris Olympics. Among others, is establishing intensive communication with the French Embassy in Indonesia. Previously, the Indonesian team sent 28 athletes plus 1 alternate athlete to the 2020 Tokyo Olympics, which was held in July 2021. At that time, the contingent led by Rosan Roslani brought home 1 gold, 1 silver, and 3 bronze medals. That was My Indonesia Today.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOI listener, now we will reply to an email from Rabi Sankar Bosu in India. In his email, he said that India was celebrating Kali Puja, or Mother Goddess Kali Worship, and Diwali Festival, which is the Hindu Festival of Light, in West Bengal on November 12, 2023. He also wished all the staff of Voice of Indonesia a very happy Diwali. He hopes this festival brings us closer. Hello, sir. Thank you so much for your information. I wish you a very happy Diwali. Hopefully, we are getting closer. So keep listening to Voice of Indonesia regularly and send your reception report. Well, Mr. Rabi Sankar Bosu, let's enjoy this special song for you. Check this one out.
You say you love me, and you say that you need me. You say you miss me, like I'm the only one. But we both know that you don't really mean it. 'Cause you say to all the girls, every girl in the world. 같아요, 감추다가 바라고. 같아요, 감수하고 안도. 진짜지, 감옥하다 간수 아냐. 개발했어, 와봄, 와봄, 와. Boy, you hate your fun and games, don't say you want me. Don't say you need me.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Thank you for still joining the English program from Voice of Indonesia. For the next segment, we'll give information about Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Indonesian Wonder today is featuring Kantong Semar Cake, a unique culinary specialty from Pontianak, West Kalimantan. Kantong Semar cake is a typical Pontianak snack originating from the interior and coast of West Kalimantan. Kantong Semar is actually the Indonesian name for pitcher plant, a carnivorous plant which can be found everywhere in Indonesia, especially in Pontianak. The cake is wrapped in the pitcher plant, hence the name Kantong Semar cake. It is a mandatory food when certain events are held, such as traditional ceremonies, weddings, and Idul Fitri. Kantong Semar or pitcher plant has the Latin name Nepenthes and is a plant belonging to the monogenic Nepenthaceae family. This plant with dozens of types is spread across the islands in Indonesia like in Jawa, Sumatra, Sulawesi, Papua, Maluku, and of course Kalimantan. Kantong Semar literally translated in English is Semar's pocket. For your information, Semar is one of the Japanese wayang characters with a big belly. Kantong Semar or pitcher plant, as the name suggests, has a large, widened pouch resembling the stomach of Semar. The uniqueness of this plant lies in the pitcher-shaped plant, which resembles a flower bud, funnel shape. It is through this funnel that this plant catches insects and processes them as food. To make Semar pocket cake, first, the rather large and brownish Semar pocket is washed clean, bruised the inside, which is usually full of dirt, dead insects, and soil. The edges of the mouth of the pitcher plant are cut so that a neat bag is formed, even though the size is not the same. Then the clean Semar bag or pocket is used as a cake mold. For the filling, prepare sticky rice that has been soaked and washed clean. Then mix with fresh coconut milk, sugar, salt, and add it with tolo beans or cowpeas. Next, the Semar bag or pocket is filled with the mixture and poured with coconut milk. The Semar bags that have been filled with the mixture are placed on a steamer and cooked for 2 hours. Because the sticky rice that is put in is raw, so it takes a long time to cook. After that, the Kantong Semar cake is ready to be served. Once cooked, this Kantong Semar cake is brownish in color, and after it is left to cool, it can be enjoyed. It is soft and chewy with a sweet and savory taste. The texture is soft and there is a delicious taste of cowpeas. This Semar pocket cake is usually enjoyed with a cup of coffee. But lately, because to make them people have to hunt for pitcher plant first, not many people want to make them. If you are in West Kalimantan, you must try this Kantong Semar cake. That was today's edition of Indonesian Wonder.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listener, before we end our segment Listener's Mailbag, I will read an email from Muhammad Akil Bashir in Pakistan. Hello sir, how are you? Mr. Muhammad Akil Bashir sent us recording audio of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. It was quite clear. Thank you for monitoring our broadcast. So I'm waiting for your next reception report. Well, listener, wherever you are, before I sign out Listener's Mailbag, I will play a beautiful song for you. Enjoy!
Kau tak lagi sama, kau bukan engkau yang selalu mencari dan menelponku. Dering darimu tak ada lagi. Walau kau menghapus, menghempas diriku, mengganti cintaku, semua tak mampu hilangkan cinta yang telah kau beri. Walau kau berubah, aku kan bertahan di sepanjang waktuku. Biarkan aku mencintaimu dengan caraku.
Cintaku, semua tak mampu hilangkan cinta yang tak kau beri. Walau kau berubah, aku kan bertahan di sepanjang waktuku. Biarkan aku mencintaimu dengan cara.
VOI listener, coming up next, we have two programs in a row called Miscellany and Music Corner. Enjoy!
Miscellany today is on Art Jakarta 2023. Art lovers in Jakarta were lucky to have the opportunity to enjoy the Art Jakarta 2023 in North Jakarta. This exhibition displayed hundreds of works from 68 well-known art galleries that had been curated. The Art Jakarta event was held from November the 17th until 19th at the Expo Kemayoran, North Jakarta. Of the 68 art galleries, 40 come from Indonesia, while the other 28 from various other countries, including Malaysia, Thailand, Vietnam, Japan, Australia, South Korea, and Singapore. Archikarta Director Tom Tangio said, with the new location, it is hoped that this event can make the art ecosystem even more vibrant. He hoped that Archikarta 2023 could take the art ecosystem to a different level. Archikarta provides a platform for experts, observers, artists, collectors, and curators to chat and share experiences and knowledge with visitors. Archikarta is one of the leading art exhibitions in Indonesia with a clear focus on Southeast Asia. Not only does it display superior works of art from artists, Archikarta is also used as a dynamic international forum for all stakeholders in the art ecosystem, from artists, collectors, to investors. The main presentation of Archikarta 2023 is Spot. There were 9 installation works of art that had been selected. There was work by Jose Santos from the Philippines and by artist Nipan Orani Vesna from Thailand. These 2 works were displayed in Indonesia for the first time. That was Michelini.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Andaikan malam tiada pernah. Setiap ku bersamamu mungkin tak berujung. Betapa rindu ini tak pernah mati. Kekasih hatiku hanyalah engkau. Saat bulan manismu memanggil namaku, hatiku pun bergetar bagai terserang rindu. Betapa aku menyanjungi dirimu, buta mata hati untuk yang lain. Memati gitar menyanyi syair yang tulus, bersembah lelapku, pujaanku. Burung berkicau tanda setia pada pagi. Ku dengan engkau tak bisa dipisahkan lagi. Jantungku kau minta pun kan ku berikan. Betapa dalamnya cinta untukmu. Memetik gitar menyanyi syair yang tulus, persembahan kamuku. Nantikan di kau di tidur lalapku, pujaanku. Thank you.
bisa dipisahkan lagi.
Jantungku kau minta pun kan ku berikan, betapa dalamnya cinta untukmu. Memati gitar menyanyi syair yang tulus, persembahan kalbuku. Nantikan kau di tidur lelapku, pujaanku.
VOA listener, today's Music Corner presents a song from an Indonesian male singer, Doni Sibarani. Doni Sibarani was previously known as the vocalist of Ada Band from 2002 to 2017. After that, he chose to pursue a solo career. On November 22, 2023, he released his latest single in collaboration with a newcomer, Aura. The single is entitled Yang Terbaik Bagimu, which was previously popularized by Ada Band with Gita Gutawa in 2004. Overall, the song, which in English means The Best For You, describes the figure of a father. The lyrics tell about childhood memories of a boy who is growing up, and memories with his father who always gives him abundant love are very attached in his mind. November is quite a special month for Indonesians, as Heroes Day is celebrated on November 10th and Father's Day on November 12th. These two events have deep meaning, especially for those who see the role of a father as a hero figure in their lives. This is also a consideration for releasing the song Yang Terbaik Bagimu in November. Well, listener, let's enjoy the song Yang Terbaik Bagimu by Doni Sibarani and Aura.
Sayangku untuknya, ku terus berjanji takkan diam nanti pintanya. Ayah dengarlah
Voice of Indonesia.
I wanna dance tonight until forever. Let this be the time of our lives.
You can dim the light that shines from within. She on fire, alive and kicking. Speaking from the row where she sits in. When she speaks, her story begins. She's a
home. VOI listener, thank you so much for listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Keep listening to our program to shortwave frequency 3325 and 4750 kHz. Website voinews.id or RRI Digital mobile app. Don't forget to send us feedback through our email voi@voinews.id or through social media, Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, or Instagram @voi_official. I'm Rahma signing out. Bye for now.